This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A Friday. Glad you're along with us. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Coming up on the program today, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, as we get ready for the spring game tomorrow. And that's at 1 o'clock. We'll also be talking with John Higgins, one of the most respected officials in the NCAA men's basketball ranks. He had the national championship game last year. This year, his Final Four game, he was on the floor doing Wisconsin. Wisconsin, Kentucky, Omaha. He's from our area, and we'll talk about basketball and some of the cool spots he's been and things like that. Also, it is Friday. That means our Fanatics Friday trivia, chance to win a $25 gift card to Fanatics. And I've got one more set of tickets to tomorrow's spring game to give away. I will tell you right now, you're not going to get them in the mail, so we will have a family four-pack. You will have to be able to pick them up at our studios here in Kearney, so keep that in mind when we give them away a little bit later on. We are at the Masters in Jordan Spieth. Man, this youngster is really doing it, and I mentioned earlier in the week, I said, I'm not ready to jump all over the Jordan Spieth bandwagon just yet. But he has to remind people of a Rory McIlroy and a Tiger Woods, the way he is playing at this age, and just doesn't seem to be rattled by much of anything. And he is at 10 under par, 2 under on his round today.
Yeah, it was interesting. In Vegas, he was the second choice, Doug. You know what I mean? I mean, they had Rory McIlroy as the number one choice, but he's the second choice. So this isn't like a major surprise. This is one of the chalks, you know, the second favorites leading the tournament.
And Ernie Els has fallen back here. He got it to 6-under early, but he has 4 bogeys in his round today to go along with a couple of birdies. So he sets at 3-under par. Jason Day, Charlie Hoffman are at 6-under. There's still a lot of guys that are in that 2-under to even range that will tee off later. A lot of the leaders outside of Justin Rose are on the golf course. Sergio Garcia is even through his 4 holes today, so he is at 4-under par. Still got Bill Haas, Webb Simpson, Paul Casey, all tee off after noon our time. Louis Oosthuizen was 4-under through 8 holes today. He's given one back. He's 3-under for the tournament. And Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson. Phil tees off in the next to last group today. Tiger, 1-under on his round today, is even for the tournament. So if he can hold it together, he's obviously going to make the cut. And right now, that 10-shot rule doesn't look like it's going to come into effect. If Jordan Spieth, even if he just keeps it at 10 under, it's probably going to be tough for 50 guys to be below that.
Oh, yeah. Do they take the top 72 also, Doug?
No. It's less than that. I can't remember if it's 44 or 49 or something like that.
Whatever that number is, right, yeah. Exactly. But I think right now, if you're even par, you're in 28th place. And, of course, you're tied with a lot of other golfers, too, because I think plus one was like 42nd place. So there's like 14 guys at even par right now.
Projected cut is plus one. And if guys aren't going backwards, that's going to move up. That projected cut, because if you are within 10 of the leader, but usually the leader's not so far out ahead of the pack. I mean, if you're sitting at 6-under, that opens it up for a lot of golfers to make the cut. But if Spieth is at 10, 12, 13 under by the end of the day, you're going to have to be in the top 40 to guarantee a spot on the weekend. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on at the Masters. And live coverage begins again this afternoon and Saturday and Sunday, always at 1 o'clock right here on ESPN Radio. Live coverage of the Masters. The Frozen Four going on. Omaha thumped. And again, not being the hockey expert, but kind of reading what all the hockey experts were saying, it just didn't look good. Omaha just got blown out yesterday, not from a 4-1 standpoint with an empty netter, but everybody just saying they weren't really even ever in the game. It was scoreless after the first period. Providence 2-0 after 2. Omaha cut it to 2-1 in the third, but Providence scored right away and won it 3-1. So they will play Boston in tomorrow's national championship. The Division I bowling championships continue in St. Louis for the Nebraska women. We've got the Player of the Year, Liz Culkin, Jimmy. I mean, that's the Heisman of bowling. And Nebraska has it.
That's what a great honor. That's a great honor.
I knew that you've got too much stuff getting ready for the wedding here that you just couldn't make it out to St. Louis this weekend.
No, I actually had tickets, plane tickets, ready to go for that. And the last minute, I just had to cancel out. I'm going to miss it this year.
And one of the things we can talk about with John here is Kentucky having seven players declare for the NBA draft. That just somewhere seems wrong. It just seems wrong. I'm not saying it is wrong, but obviously no school has ever had seven of their players declare for the draft in one season.
Yeah, and it's something they take pride in. I mean, this is, you know, there are some schools, their graduation rate. I did notice on the press conference with Kentucky, he said these seven men have a 3.15 grade point average. He wanted to make sure that, and he said last year's class had a 3.02 grade point average. So what he was trying to say was these kids are going to school. They're working hard on their academics. They're trying to do things the correct way. They're just going to, the right now is, let's look at the whole picture here. If these people are going to go into a job that pays $50,000 a year and have a good, that's a great occupation, but they have an opportunity to sign for a couple million dollars, and some of them more than that. Let's be honest about it, just the signing bonus. So this is an opportunity for them. It's a dream, and they want to go ahead and take that dream. And the NBA, you know, the age of the NBA players are almost 20 years old to 30 years old. You know, Doug, that's you only have a 10-year time period where you can go. I mean, and a lot of them don't make it 10 years. I mean, that's if you make the league and you go on. But, you know, if you only play a year or two, it still looks good on your resume. You know, when you apply for that next job, you want to sell insurance or sell cars. And it goes, hey, oh, what did you do here in 2016? Oh, yeah, you're starting guard for the Chicago Bulls. Or, yeah, I played for the Washington Bullets. Or, you know, I was with the Golden State Warriors for 12 days. You know, whatever that might be, it looks good on your resume.
Kansas City Royals off to a 3-0 start, their first 3-0 start since 2008. They beat the White Sox 4-1 yesterday, and they will begin a series in Los Angeles against the Angels tonight. And because we have Storm Hockey on the breeze, we will have Royals Baseball on Classic Hits 98.9 the next couple of weekends as they take on the Angels. 9:05 tonight, 8:05 on Saturday, and then the Royals will be back on their normal home, the breeze, on Sunday. And that's going to happen next weekend, too, because the Storm will be playing in the Clark Cup playoffs.
This is good. I'm going to be listening to 98.9 right after I get done with my Danger game tonight, Doug, on the way home from Grand Island. And I'm glad it's on FM, because sometimes I have a little trouble with the AM stations late at night.
What do you think? You got Danger football tonight. Huh?
Yeah,
you got a big game.
Yeah, it's
going to
be
4-1 teams.
Yeah, 2-4-1 teams. You know, one thing I like about having 2-4-1 teams is no one will yell at me the entire game. I won't get yelled at the entire game. Not one person will say anything like, "Hey, I think you might have missed that one."
No, you got to miss it first.
Hey, you know, last week they had a 2 weeks ago, Doug, they had a kickoff. And the thing bounced about, so that, you know, that ball's a little different. It bounced over this guy's head. Well, in that league, if it goes into the end zone, you have to get it out. Or if the other team recovers it, it's a touchdown. If the kicking team recovers it, well, the kicking team from Iowa recovered the kickoff.
Uh-huh.
So guess what? It's right in front of me, and here comes like six bodies. And I'm trying to get as skinny and small as I can up against the wall because I got to stay on the goal line to decide whether it's a touchdown or a rouge, you know, for 1 point, or if they got it out of the end zone. I really was kind of more scared than I was trying to get the call right.
You didn't stiff arm or nothing?
No, but I acted like I was really cool after the play was over.
Nice. Husker spring game is coming up tomorrow, as we said, 1 o'clock. The youth, 8th grade and younger, with the drug-free pledge, can get in for free. Coverage begins at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning on the Breeze, 94.5. Well, our next guest, first time that we've had him on the Doug and Daddy Show, and he's... I mean, let's face it, Jimmy, he's got a cool job. You have been in officiating and coaching and all this, as we've said time and time again, for a number of years. But it's a whole different lifestyle when your major job is traveling the country and officiating sports, whatever the level may be, collegiate, pro, college, football, basketball, whatever it might be.
You know, John Higgins helped me with my career a little bit. When I was coaching basketball at Ravana, and he got out of high school officiating in about 1990. That was the year. It might have been 91, and he was starting to move into the, you know, big time NCAA and make his move. And I got a lot of his high school games. You know, he was like supposed to be at Columbus SCOTUS, and he couldn't get in. And people call me, hey, we need somebody, and, you know, because I was just starting, so I got to pick up some games. And then I also got to work with him in the RMAC a couple times. We worked a game, I think it was the Russia Olympic team came into Kearney and took on UNK, and we were working with this official from Russia. And he brought us gifts. And John and I didn't have a gift for him. That's what you did. He hands us a gift, and we go, uh-oh. So, you know, I quickly told some equipment manager to go up and get us some keychains. If we handed him keychains, like, we really had gifts. But we didn't have nothing for him. But we acted like we did.
Now, wait a minute. This whole story, see, I just learned something. We have John Higgins to blame for your officiating career around here?
That's what it is, yeah. That's what it's about, yeah.
Well, John joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, Santa Claus, on December 26th, all he wants to do is rest. I have to feel, John, that on April 7th of this year, that's about all you wanted to do. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, that's about what I do once I get back home after whatever my last game may be. The next 2 weeks... Usually I go on about 3, 4, 5 hours of sleep a night. Next 2 weeks I can't hardly get out of bed. My wife gets me up 8, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and she says, "Aren't you going to the office? Aren't you going somewhere?" She's already sick of me already after 5, 6 days at home.
Well, I know everybody's fired up, especially the folks that either grew up with you, worked with you, knew you, and we've talked about, hey, John's got this game. Hey, we know John's going to be in the Final Four. He gets a championship game. So, A, you're doing a great job, obviously, or you wouldn't be getting these games. And B, is the excitement still there? I mean, I still get excited when I get to call a state championship game. The excitement level still has to be there when you're selected for a Final Four or a national title game.
Yeah, you know, the excitement's always going to be there. The hardest part is your travel. The games are great. Doesn't matter what game it is, which night it is. The games are always great. It's the travel that just kind of beats you up. If anybody that's a salesman that goes on the road every single day, it just wears and grinds on you. But the games are still wonderful. They still get you pumped up. It's like when you played. You get excited, and it's still a lot of fun. And to work the Final Four, it just gets you. You know, you pinch yourself when you walk out in the court and there's 72,000 people there, and you think, you know, when I first started, I never dreamt that I would even be a college referee, let alone even a high school referee. And then you do the Final Four, and it's a different world.
Hey, John, Jim Langen here. How's it going today?
Hi, Jimmy. Good. How are you?
Hey, really good. Hey, the question I'm going to have for you is, and I remember when you refereed games, my sister would be in Las Vegas, and she'd call me on the phone and go, hey, John Higgins is reffing the game. And whatever, wherever we were at, you know, people would always be texting me, hey, John's got the game. Or even when Tim and I would be, Tim, your brother, and I would be refereeing, and Tim would go, hey, Jim, guess what? And we'd be on our way to do Axtell Elm Creek. He goes, guess what John's got tonight? And I go, I don't know, Oklahoma, Texas. I go, ah, yeah. And then who do you think is going to get paid more? You know, we play the jokes with you all the time. Hey, the questions I got for you right here, a couple years ago, and it might have been 10, it might have been 5, they just kind of started instant replay. And there was a game where you and one of your partners went over and looked at the monitor for about 5 minutes, and it was either a 2 or a 3. If it's a 3, we got a winner. If it's a 2, we're going to go overtime. And finally, one of the coaches came over to you, and you guys had looked at it, and you just couldn't tell. And he kind of went over and said, hey, let's go ahead and go. It's a 2. Let's go overtime. Do you remember that game or not?
I do. It was in regional final. It was Michigan State, Kentucky.
That's what I thought.
And Michigan State, Kentucky, and we ended up after it was 8 minutes of review. After that long, we couldn't tell. We tried to blow it up. We did everything we could. And so we just had to go in. And that was the first year, 8 or 9 years ago, was the first year we got to use replay. And that was ended up being Kentucky kid. It was, we called it a two. They went to, it ended up going to double overtime, and I believe Michigan State won in double overtime to go to the Final Four.
We're talking with John Higgins, NCAA official, and I know in speaking with Jimmy here that there are, and other guys that are in your position, John, that there are just some things that you don't want to comment on or don't want to talk about. So if we bring something up like that, you can go ahead and give us the fifth here. But
no problem.
One of the things that has really been talked about this year is how much harder it is to officiate in the NCAA. It's went from the national media saying, my God, you know, this was a bad game, or this was a poorly officiated game, or this was, you know, well officiated, to it doesn't matter what you guys do, there's going to be a missed call or two, and there's talking about how physical and how tough it is to call the game. Do you agree, and do you see changes coming?
Well, I do agree. The scrutiny is higher than it's ever been because, number one, money. The scrutiny from the media, like in the Final Four, there's 18 cameras on their game, 18 cameras. Now, we don't usually get very many looks on whatever play we go look at, but there's 18 cameras. So there's 18 cameras, there's 72,000 people in the arena, and there's, you know, what, 20, 30, 40, 50 million watching the game. So, and every media outlet there is scrutinizes every single call. Now, when you referee a game, doesn't matter what game it is, high school grade, whatever, you're going to miss plays. I don't care who the referee is. You're never 100% correct on a play because you'll have a no call that's incorrect. You'll have a correct call that's incorrect. You'll have plays in every single game. But the media, everybody thinks you should be perfect, and we're not perfect. Players aren't perfect. If a player shoots 50%, they consider him a great, great shooter. If a coach, you know, wins 70% of his game, he's in the Hall of Fame. What, you know, people expect, and referees, actually, the good referees are usually between 90% and 92% correct in all their plays. Any guy that gets to go to the Final Four, their grade is usually 90% or better, which in Division I level, we get graded on every single game we referee. So, you know, it's just the media has gotten so involved in every single thing we do. It's like that in the NFL and in Major League Baseball. They just want everybody to be perfect, which we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And it's, you know, it's just a hard game to referee.
NCAA tournament official John Higgins joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Following up on that then, John, a lot was made of the national final game. Here's what I've said, and Jimmy, we've talked about this in football, and now obviously it's carried over. I just want your thoughts on replay overall. I think Jimmy and I are in a pretty much agreement. I say, you know what, if you can't get the best view, you walk over to the monitor, and if you can't tell in 30 seconds, stick with your call. It's supposed to be for blatantly missed calls. What's your thoughts on replay? What would you like to see it be?
Well, the first of all, that will probably never happen. I would love to see that happen, but that will never happen. Now, since we've gone to this point, that will never happen. Just because people expect perfection and they want to get the plays correct, especially at the end of the game. But nobody's perfect. I wish they would never brought it into the game, but they have, and there's no turning back now. I know there will be some rules changes, especially on that game that we had where the shot clock at two, you know, the shot clock went to zeros. We couldn't hear the horn, and we go off of horn when we go off of that stuff. And the only time you can go look at it is under 2 minutes. And the rule was put in there because the media people thought any replays and the games are taking too long.
Yeah.
So that's really a media-driven rule. I guarantee you one thing. Next year, we'll be able to go look at threes to twos, twos to threes, any time in the game, Anytime, because it never usually. If it happens once in every 10 or 15 games, you're lucky. Jimmy, you referee, how many times in your college games have you had that affect the game?
Yeah.
Not very often.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing about this too, I don't think people realize that sometimes in your games, unlike my games, I mean, in high school, we don't even get to look at the monitor at all, and there's times we want to. I mean, I would really love to see a pinball machine, and I don't even get to look at it at all. I want to get the game right. I'm not an official that says, no, my call's the right call, and that's just the way it is. I want to get the game right, and I'm like you. I think we're going to miss stuff, and I'm like you. Man, if I can grade out at 90%, I've had a good game. And, you know, the other thing, help me out on this, because I might be wrong, because you work at a higher level than I do. The level that I work at, when we look at monitors, I know I'm not getting the best picture. But when CBS got the game, you still don't get to look at all 18 TVs. They might have one TV that really showed it well, but you guys don't get to look at that. You might be limited to one or two shots. Is that still correct, or am I wrong?
No, you're correct. And this year was the first year for DB Sports. Came into play in the NCAA tournament where we have our own system where we go in over, we can slow things down and reverse them and go forward and reverse them and slow it down. And they have their own system. I'm not sure how well they coincided with the CBS system, or if it did, I don't know. There were some plays that I think in both games that are all three games, that I'm not sure we're all on the same page as far as the looks go. But there's usually, out of the 17, 18 cameras, or if there's five or six, there's usually only one or two looks that will have what you'll need. Like in our game, we had a possible flagrant foul call where the kid ended up getting slapped in the face. Well, we never saw that look. So, you know, I don't know if it's a flaw in the system, if it was our flaw or what, but sometimes, and it took us 2 minutes. We were over there 2 minutes. We didn't see anything. So we went up out and played on.
Yeah, John.
We caught a little bit of heck about that, but.
John,
yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, John, you're right about that. Not getting to see every camera, and that's the problem sometimes, is that what the viewers get to see, we as officials didn't get to see. I'll tell you one call you got right that was a tremendous call. It was a crew-saving call, and you were the only guy that called it. And that's one thing, you know, when you're refereeing a game and you got three guys out there, the other two guys think, thank God, John, you were there for that one. But you had that travel call when that kid from Wisconsin, I think, took the extra step for the layup. You remember game he walked?
And man,
what a surprise. You know, if you're working a high school girls game or a high school boys game, you're going to get that right. But in the NCAA, you're so surprised that guy took that step that sometimes
you're
going, unbelievable. Did I miss that or what? You know, so, but what a great call. And John, I'm going to tell you right now, the way you handle the coaches, the way you handle the crowd, the way you handle that, your demeanor out there, no wonder you're at a high level. We're really proud of you here in Nebraska. That when we, you know, Nebraska doesn't go to the Final Four. Creighton hasn't been to the Final Four. But we got a guy in Nebraska that goes almost all the time, and we're very proud of you. So you keep up the good work, all right?
I appreciate that, Jimmy. You know, I got my start right there at Kearney State when the freshman referees, their freshman team was playing the junior college team, and Coach Easer asked if anybody could referee, and I wasn't really fond of the referees. I wasn't a very good basketball player, but I wasn't very fond of the referees. But he said, they're paying $25. I raised my hand. That's a lot of money at Buffalo Chips or Dickie Dugan.
We've all started. You and I started our career the same way. And I was doing some women's softball games at Kearney State College, believe it or not, the same way. That's how I kind of got my softball career started. Hey, does anybody want to do it? Go, I'm not doing it. Well, it pays $25. I says, I'm in.
I'm in, yeah.
Absolutely.
We've got just a couple of minutes left here with NCAA official John Higgins. Couple more questions for you, John. You talked about getting your start, and let's face it, this is a good gig, and we see a lot of guys that have done this job for a long, long time. Why get out of it? It's a pretty good gig. What are you seeing from younger officials? I mean, we know Brooksy Wells from right here in Grand Island is trying to go up, and he's getting some college games, and there's just you don't see a lot of young guys, and there's a reason why. That's because some they're getting their start in the smaller Division I schools. How are the young guys doing? Are they starting to get put back, I guess, getting mixed in with you guys a little bit?
Yeah, it seems to be starting that way. I've been pushing Brooks since he – in fact, I saw Brooks at my son Colin's high school game, and I saw, and Joe was working the game. His dad was working with him. I didn't know that was his son, and after the game said, "Hey, Joe, who's your young kid?" He said, "That's my boy. He's good. He's going to have a chance. Have him call me at the next summer." So I sent him to a couple of camps, and I they liked him, and I talked to them, and next thing you know, he got hired. I think he probably worked 25, 30 games in Division I this year. He's a really, really, really good kid and an up-and-comer. I think he's got a chance. Just like his dad was a great official, I think he's got a chance to be a really, really good official.
Yeah, he is. Brooks does a good job. He worked his first high school basketball game with me, and he was a senior in high school when he worked that game. So, yeah, John, you're exactly right.
Something?
Yeah, that's amazing. But, hey, Joe's still working. He's just like your brother, Tim. They're still doing the state tournament. Those two guys are still pounding away down there in the high school floors.
And Tim says he taught you a few things. Now, would that be true, or would that be on the wrong side of the fibbing line?
Well, Tim taught me he tried to teach me how to play basketball, but I didn't learn very well from him. So I did learn how to yell at referees, and that was from my father. when I played, because I wasn't very good, obviously. But yeah, Tim taught me that how to hold my whistle and let things play out a little bit. He lets let them bang a little bit. We talk quite a bit during the season, you know, and we kind of go back and forth because he referees everything. I don't know how I could describe him. He referees everything: baseball, basketball, volleyball, football. He's nuts. If I did that, I don't know. I'd be still married, I guess.
Well, I know he likes to check. And John, we got a couple of emails here, questions for you before we let you go. This comes from Doug in Kearney. He says, "Ask John about the colorful language that Bobby Huggins used from the sidelines while he was at Kansas State, or maybe just the best comments you've heard from coaches throughout the year."
Oh boy, I've heard a bunch of them. I can't really tell you what they really said, but they're comical. I know that sometimes they're comical, sometimes they're filthy, sometimes they're you just can't repeat what they say most of the time.
This comes from Mike and Gibbon. He just wants to know what your work year is like.
How many games I do?
Give us a sense of what you did this last year.
I did probably 94 or 5 games. You can go up on a stat sheet and find out how many games I worked and how many calls I got on each team and so on and so forth. But I work around 95 games. That's around 4 or 5 at least a week. And I've been doing that for 10, 15 years. This is my 26th year in Division I officiating. I quit high school officiating about 90, 91. Jimmy was correct on that. My schedule starts on November 1st. I'll do a couple exhibition games, and then the league starts, not leagues, but NCAA Division I games start on around the 13th, 14th, that Friday. And then from that point on, it's... Katie bar the door. It's you get after it pretty hard, and I always say there's three seasons: the preseason, the conference season, then the postseason. And once it gets to the end of the conference season, your eyes are looking towards April, so you're all done.
And John,
you're a little tired of it.
And John, do you have a favorite place you like to officiate at?
I would probably say one of the best arenas to officiate in the country is Fog Allen at Kansas. It's probably, as far as the atmosphere goes, that's probably the best, and I think they rank it as probably the best in the country. That's a good place. Louisville's a great place. Cameron Indoor is a great place. It's a lot smaller than most of the other arenas, but those are probably the top three or four that I go to.
John, have you had a major upset? And I mean, you've worked 26 years. You've had upsets, but have you ever worked a game like, you know, where like a Georgia State knocks off somebody or anything like that? An Incarnate Word beats Nebraska, or any? Have you had any major upsets on the road? We're going, boy, this is something else.
Well, I had a Kansas game a couple years ago where TCU was 0 for the league, yeah. and they were TCU wasn't very good at all, and TCU beat them at Dallas, and Kansas was ranked in the top five. I don't know if you remember, they only scored 9 points in the first half.
That was sad.
it was a brutal, and that's when I think Bill said he couldn't beat the YMCA team of Topeka. I don't know if you remember that, but that was a big time upset.
Well, Johnny, we appreciate getting a long conversation with you as we watch you officiate, whether it was in Omaha for the tournament or on TV, whenever the case may be. As Jimmy said, it's great to know that we got a Nebraskan out there representing us. Congratulations on another great season. And, man, thanks for talking with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hope we can do it again.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
That's John Higgins, NCAA official. Got his start right here, alum, and Omaha, and travels all over the country. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you're looking for some lunch, why not try Big Daddy's Deli in Hastings, located right across from Duncan Field at 610 East South Street. If the Broncos are home, swing on over there, or if you're just getting ready for a track meet, which they're having over at Adams Central today, eat healthy. Eat Big Daddy's Deli. All sandwiches are served with your choice of freshly baked bread or the bun, cheese, fresh veggies, whatever you want, condiments. You can make a big combo meal out of it with fruit cups, chips, potato salad, homemade soup, and a whole lot more. Big Daddy's also offers meat and cheese trays and special sandwiches for your event. Call ahead for current pricing and special orders. Big Daddy's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, 610 East South Street in Hastings. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, when we return.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C, NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating Spray-On Bedliners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating Spray-On Bedliner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny conditions will stay with us through the day today as we top off up in the mid-60s. Winds out the west, meanwhile, stay at about 5 to 15. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head down to 40 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 54.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug, due to Jim Lagan with you on this Friday before the spring game. We talk a little Husker football. We talk TNL irrigation, just like the Huskers. TNL is like no other with their hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems, getting you ready for the 2015 planting season. When you get it all planted, you want it hydrated. Get it done with the folks at TNL Irrigation. TNL. TLIRR.com. Worldwide headquarters out of Hastings since the 1950s. They take care of every state in the Union and more than 60 countries worldwide. They're keeping them happy. They'll keep you happy. TNL, hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. We are pleased to welcome our buddy Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star here on the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for tomorrow's spring game. Sip, how are you, buddy?
Doing fine. How is Doug and Jim doing this morning?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Jimmy's got a wedding he's planning here later this month. He's got to walk his daughter down the aisle.
Oh, congratulations.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Grandkids to follow. You got any grandkids yet?
Yeah, I don't have any grandkids yet. And, you know, I'm, you know, a lot of people want to be a granddad. You know, I haven't even thought of it. You know, everybody, oh, you're going to be a grand, I haven't even thought of it, because I know my poor little daughter knows that, hey, if I'm going to babysit, we're going to take the little kid to the horse races.
That's not a bad spot.
That's exactly right. Kid's going to know how to bet a pick six before he's going to get his multiplications right.
Oh, my goodness. It'll happen. We'll see. That'll help him with his math skills.
There you go. That's what it's all about.
Uncle Buck and Grandpa
Jim. Kid's going to go, I don't know, but I know what the over-under is in the Cincinnati-Ohio game.
Well, you can learn a lot at the track. It's not just, so, yeah, that's good, Grandpa. Well, that'll be interesting. You'll have an interesting life.
Well, the spring game tomorrow, and as we've talked about over the last couple of years, now that you guys have been able to see more practices than in the past, you go into the spring game at least thinking we know a little bit more than we have in the past. There's not going to be as many surprises. So far through this spring camp and first year with Coach Riley and all the assistant coaches, what have you noticed? What do you think's been unique, Sip?
Oh, unique. It's hard. Just practice. So I haven't seen really anything unique about practice except for what you guys have probably talked about a lot, which was the way they divided it up early. I haven't seen anything overly unique. I mean, if you're asking me about things that have kind of stood out, you know, AJ Bush has stood out certainly. That he's the real deal. There's no question that he's going to push Tommy. I mean, it's 1-2. Tommy's in the lead. It's 1-2, and then there's a pretty big jump after that to 3. But that's, I mean, there's a reason why there's a lot of buzz about A.J. Bush.
And we're going to get our chance to see him tomorrow, and Riker Fife is going to be on the white team with Bush. Tommy will be on the red team. The rosters have been announced. Sip and the gang got him up on Husker Extra right now, and I've got a copy downloaded from earlier this morning. Anything that stuck out to you about the roster, Sip?
Oh, just that Bush and Riker got to go. I mean, this is what, you know what? Bush, we're going to see about Bush. Or it's going to be a little frustrating, maybe. Maybe we won't be able to tell a lot about him because of those two guys he's got to go against, meaning Malik and Vincent. Malik Collins and Vincent Valentine have both had a fabulous spring. And it makes it, honestly, they kind of make it hard to evaluate sometimes because they blow up the middle so much. It makes it very hard to run up the middle. Pass plays are an adventure because the pocket's always breaking down. So I think if you're Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf, you got to be careful, and you might want to make sure that, you know, Riker Fife and A.J. Bush get plenty of reps against a defense that doesn't have those guys. Because I think, and you know what, in evaluating Tommy this spring, sometimes I thought it was almost unfair sometimes because he often was going against those guys. So that's what kind of sticks out at me, I guess. There's not much that really sticks out.
Yeah, Steve, good point. You can imagine what it's like in high school at the lower levels in Class C and D when you've got your first-team defense going after some quarterback. He's got no time at all to throw. I mean, you know, eventually you got to just say, hey, you guys got to take a knee. You got to take a knee, and the rest of us are going to go ahead and play football. But you guys can't rush anymore. So we got to see what we got here. Hey, question for you about the quarterback situation. I have heard through many of the media, and you seem to be about you telling the straight shooting about as anybody I know. How bad are they throwing the football? Because that's what we're hearing. They can't throw the ball. They can't. These guys are really struggling throwing it this year. Is that the truth, or is this, or are they just looking for something to talk about?
No, they've struggled. I mean, there was a Saturday scrimmage. Was it last Saturday? It was the Saturday before last. It was last Saturday. I counted they were 8 for 23 and 7 on 7. Okay, 8 for 23. They struggled, and some of it's to be expected. But there are times when it's been very, noticeable, and there's been some kind of visible frustration. But on the other hand, the quarterbacks have had their moments too. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't call it a disaster, Jim. I wouldn't say that it's been a bad spring for the quarterbacks. I think that they definitely need to work on their accuracy, but some of that's to be expected because of the magnitude of the undertaking, learning a new offense that they weren't really recruited for, not necessarily Tommy's style for sure. But I think by and large they've adapted pretty well, and there's things they can do outside the passing game that I think intrigue the coaching staff. You know, Tommy's still got to run some zone reads. They can work some stuff off that jet sweep with the quarterback. These guys are pretty inventive on offense. So, yeah, I mean, you don't have Andrew Luck back there right now, but there's still some things you can get done.
Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, talking a little Husker spring game with us. Would there be somebody besides A.J. Bush, which we're hearing a lot about, somebody else whose stock you think has significantly rose this spring, whether it's because of the coaching switch or just because they seem to fit a little bit better in the system?
Graham Nabhany comes to mind right away. I mean, if we stick on offense, Graham Nabhany, that situation is legit. I mean, you hear his name, and I know some people roll their eyes still. He's a walk-on junior from Elkhorn. And, you know, nobody's jumped out at running back. So why not Graham Nabhany? I'm not saying he's going to be a starter, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had 40 or 50 carries this season. He's got some size. You know, he's 6'2", 210. He's got a little speed, too. And so I'd watch him pretty close. I've watched Luke McNitt from Kearney, by the way. I mean, we got to mention Luke McNitt. You guys, I'm sure you've heard talk about him. And, again, that's legit talk. If you watch practices, you see him continually catching passes. And what I like about him? And you can't say this about all of Nebraska's tight ends, even the top guys. He catches passes that aren't necessarily on the money. You know, he's pretty good at that. He'll snag one out of the air one-handed, or he'll catch it, he'll catch a ball thrown behind him. He's athletic. He's an athletic kid. I would really watch McNitt. I mean, I don't know exactly what he did at Kearney. I think you guys can help me, he started some games at quarterback.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But that's definitely a guy, especially on Saturday. Stephen Carter won't play. Stephen Carter's got a foot issue, and by the way, I keep watching that foot issue. So I'd watch McNitt, and I can even help you here. His number is 41. I have it marked on my roster. 41. I'd watch him pretty close.
Yeah, hey, how about Spencer Lindsey? He's also from Kearney. And then we've got Blake Holtmeyer, I believe,
yeah,
out.
Blake Holtmeyer.
Thomas Conley.
I mean, they got a lot of these kids Kearney. From the area that would seem to be young or down on the depth chart, so it's cool to hear about Luke. But Spencer at least saw some playing time last year.
Spencer Lee, yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty happy with Brown right now. I don't know that Lee can – he factors in as a kickoff man probably. I would say that Holtmeyer's interesting. You see him catching some passes every now and then, and you see the guys kind of scrambling to see exactly who he is, redshirt freshman from Kearney. He definitely is an athlete. I mean, he's a good athlete. I would say that. Every now and then you'll see Blake Holtmeyer, number 25, catch a pass, and everybody's like, who's that? So I think that he's kind of gotten people's attention a little bit, not in the way that McNitt has, but yeah, I'd say Holtmeyer. Then who's the other one you mentioned besides the kicker?
Well, Thomas Conley is from our...
Yeah, Conley. Conley is... he is a guy that you do notice a little bit. Now, they're all... I mean, these guys aren't probably going to play, except for McNitt. I think McNitt will play. I mean, these aren't guys you're going to see out there in a key Big Ten game with a game on the line. I hope people understand. Now, but McNitt, you might. I mean, I'm really intrigued by him, and we'll just have to see how that goes. I don't know much about him as a blocker. You know, I don't know how he holds up as a blocker. I just know as a guy coming, you know, as a guy catching a ball over the middle, or doesn't even have to be over the middle. He looks like a good route runner, and he's definitely got good hands.
I think you made a good call on McNitt. Now, McNitt was a shot put champion and a quarterback at Kearney High. Scott Frost was a quarterback at Wood River and a shot put champion. Those guys can play about anywhere. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if I was a coach and all of a sudden our linebacker went down and go, hey, we got somebody's got to get in there, McNitt could go in there and I think, well, this might work.
Did he start a lot of games at Kearney as a quarterback?
At Kearney High, at UNK, he started one for sure because I was the red cap, you know, for a TV game, and I watched the whole game. And he ran the quarterback, and they ran the ball against the team, and he had over 100 yards rushing. It was a very windy day, and they had, like, tackles playing fullback. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, they decided, hey, we're going to load up and run it. UNK won easily. But he was the quarterback running back, and he loaded up, and people had a lot of trouble tackling.
Well, they had trouble tackling because he's 6'2", 240.
Yeah, he's a big kid.
He can run.
Yes, he can.
He's an athlete. So Stephen Carter's injury even kind of prods him further up that chart. Of course, you have Sam Cotton there, who's had a decent spring, too. It's not like he's going to take over the world, but he, you know, I could see him having 12 to 15 catches this season.
And, Sip, you mentioned injuries. I see at least 10 guys that they're holding out of the game tomorrow. Some we knew about, some that, like, Stirrup has been out the whole spring. And then, of course, Carter got injured this last week. It looks like they're holding Birch out. What about the injury situation going after the spring game, into the spring game, and into the summer?
I didn't see the list they put out. Who's on there?
Well, here's what I've got, and this is a little bit more, I guess, inside. They've got on the red team, Carter, Daniel Davey, Nate Gary, Jackson, Irons, Reeves, and Stirrup all listed as injured. On the white team, they've got Birch, Jacob, and Santos listed as injured.
I don't know anything beyond that. Gary, what I've heard is he's got a knee injury that will keep him out a couple months. But I don't have that's the list. That's the guys I knew about.
Well, we'll see how she plays out tomorrow. I still want to know 70,000, and let's face it, they've talked about it in practice this week. The coaches don't know what to expect. This is going to be not just the players. Heck, most of the players are going to know what to expect more than the coaches are from the atmosphere tomorrow.
Yeah, from the atmosphere standpoint, that's true. It'll be fascinating for the coaches. I think they're really looking forward to it. I talked to Hank Hughes
about it, and he just can't wait. I mean, he can't wait. He kept saying he can't wait for 92,000. He was used to playing, you know, when he played at Springfield College, he'd play in front of 9,000. So, I mean, this is a it's a big deal for the coaches, and I think it'll be fun. It'll be I think they have to offensively really kind of it's tough, I'll tell you what. It'd be tough. This is where the coaches earn all that money they're making. You have to do enough offensively where you can move the ball and have some success and appease the masses and, you know, give your kids some confidence. Yet, you know, you're at a stage where you can't do a whole lot because you just don't know everything yet. And then also, you always have to remember the opponent factor. You don't want to tip your hand too much. And Danny Langsdorf talked about that earlier this week, that you can't, you don't want to show everything. So it's delicate, and it's always kind of interesting to see how these guys pull it off.
Well, Sip, we'll see you tomorrow in Lincoln, man. Thanks for giving us some time, as always, on the program.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you guys. Take care.
Take care, buddy. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star. Check it out, Husker Extra. And, of course, they'll be doing some stuff before the game tomorrow online. When we come back, we're going to have a winner for our Nebraska spring game tickets, so stay with us for that. But, folks, if you're looking for a new career or getting a career started, how about joining the great group at your Midway Auto Dealership, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, with over a 95-year heritage. Two locations that include 8 new car franchises and a used car superstore coming soon. Midway is always searching for talented team members. So if you're searching for a progressive and stable company to build a career, they'd love to speak with you. Find out about all the available openings online at MidwayCareers.com. You can check it all out at MidwayCareers.com and be a part of the growth at Midway and recognize your full potential at your Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue. Carter Sipke is going to be in to talk about the Fool's Night Out. Kearney Therapeutic Horseback Riding is coming up. We'll talk about that. But right now, we've got one more family four-pack of tickets to the Nebraska Spring Game to give away. And you will be have to pick them up at our Kearney studios today. That's the only way you'll be able to get them and then still get to the game tomorrow. If you haven't won Spring Game tickets this week, here's your opportunity. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Here is your trivia question. How many passes did Grand Island's Riker Fife complete in last year's spring game? How many passes did Riker Fife complete during last year's spring game? He was on the red team. He threw it 12 times. How many did Riker Fife complete? The first correct caller will get that family four-pack of tickets to tomorrow's spring game, and we'll be right back.
The Nebraska Danger football team is tearing up the indoor gridiron, and your next chance to see them in action is this Friday night at the Heartland Event Center. The Nebraska Danger will clash with the Cedar Rapids Titans, presented by Seneca. Kickoffs at 7, plus it's Pink Out Night. The first 1,000 fans get a free Danger coupon book. So get your game tickets now at the Heartland Event Center box office, area pump and pantry stores, or on Ticketmaster. Visit DangerFootball.com for more information. Danger Football. By Pump and Pantry.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is proud to support the Kearney Public Schools Foundation through Class Act. The annual Class Act dinner and auction is this Saturday. We hope to see you there.
NP Realty. Developing dreams.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport... done right.
Here's some good policy from your local agent at Auto Owners Insurance. When your insurance policy comes from us, it comes with something extra, a real person. Don't buy from an insurance company with an 800 number and voicemail menu. Auto Owners Insurance operates exclusively through local independent agencies here to help you with all of your insurance needs 24/7. Now that's a good policy. Visit your local Auto Owners Insurance agent, the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Roseland, and Hastings.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now at America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
Golf's first major of the year is here, and if the Masters has you itching to get out on the greens, then sign up now for the Kearney Country Club's three-person scramble. The inaugural tournament of the year is Saturday, May 2nd and Sunday, May 3rd. Your entry fee includes golf, cart, steak dinner, Calcutta, prizes, and a whole lot more. An optional practice round and shootout is scheduled for Friday. It's the first tournament of the year. Sign up today at 237-2553. The Kearney Country Club three-person scramble, May 2nd and 3rd.
Hey, congratulations to Tim from Grand Island. He knew Riker 5, completed 9 of his 12 passes in last year's spring game. Tim from Grand Island, I guess everybody in Grand Island probably kind of know something like that, but or looked it up really quick. But Tim's going to the spring game tomorrow, and congratulations to all of our winners this week. So, spring game, you on spring game?
No, I might go to the horse races tomorrow.
No.
I might.
You think?
I think I'm going to go.
Steve Anderson was saying on this morning's report this might be the first off track they've had all year. It's been fast all year long. That's incredible.
I hope it's off. Well, I'm counting on an off track.
We always have an off track at the Fool's Night Out, which is part of the yearly fundraiser for the Kearney Therapeutic Horseback Riding Program. And Carter Sibke joins us here. Don't forget, by the way, we still have our Fanatics trivia question to give to you before the end of the program, a chance to win a $25 gift card. So we still have another chance for you to be a winner. But hey, what's up, man? Good morning, Carter.
Good morning.
It's almost good afternoon.
I hear you. Thanks for having me on again.
Talking about the horse track, that's one of the highlights of the crazy people that come to the fundraiser every single year. And, you know, that's as legit. We don't have any monkeys standing up on those horses and slowing them down, do we?
It's all part of the dice.
Well, as we always try to do, let's explain to folks what your organization is and what you do. For me and a lot of the people that have been a part of this, we know what's going on. But if you're new to the area or have not heard about this before, explain what you guys do.
Well, we're a summer program, and we work with individuals with mental, physical, and behavior challenges through horse contact, horseback riding, horse care, to help them work and strengthen any area that they want to work on. We also work with a couple groups of boys from YRTC. We kind of consider ourselves under the healthy community umbrella, so we try to work with anybody that has an interest, has a need. Some individuals ride independently, some ride with support. We work on balance, we work on behaviors, we work on speech. You know, anything that somebody wants to strengthen or work on, we can create a program around that.
Knowing you and knowing and keeping up to date on the Facebook, this is unique, but you have also done some travels and seen some other programs in the last year or two.
Yeah.
How did you get involved, and how unique is this to the state of Nebraska? Because there's not many programs like this.
Therapeutic riding is pretty widespread, and each program differs vastly depending on what kind of clientele I work with. The program I got to visit, I was lucky enough to go to Ireland last year and got to see that program over there, and that was probably one of the greatest things I've ever gotten to do. It was great. You know, obviously it was great to be in Ireland, yeah. But it was great to see. I mean, they're all English. It's a completely different program, but still working with individuals with challenges. But, yeah, it's pretty widespread. You can find one in just about every state, and there's several in Nebraska.
We always talk about what if it's from Pheasants Forever to your organization, where the money goes. When we're talking horses, we're talking livestock, we're talking there's a lot of things just to keep that basic part of this right. program going. The fundraising, where do you invest the money? Where does the money go?
All the money goes directly to the program, and I'm not embarrassed to say that this is a small program with big expenses. When you're taking care of horses, you've got feed, you've got vet bills, and most of our horses are, in their mid to late 20s. So we want to keep them healthy. So feed and medicines, we keep everything up to date. The health of our horses is a top priority. We don't want an animal that is not healthy or is not living a good quality of life. And feed, we're an agriculture community. Everybody knows, when we're in drought time, hay prices go up, grain prices go up. Insurance for this type of program is pretty expensive. And we are on an ability to pay for all riders. So nobody gets turned away for inability to pay. We have scholarships available. So like I said, our main goal is to never turn anyone away. Money is never going to be a hindrance to anybody that wants to enter the program.
We call the fundraiser Fool's Night Out because there's a lot of fools that help with this and volunteer their time. We ought to let folks know when and where it's at.
We're at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds in the Ag Pavilion in the corner door there, the smaller of the facilities. It'll be next weekend, April 18th. All our information's on the Facebook page about getting tickets. You can buy tickets at the door, but you can get them for cheaper if you buy them ahead of time. We have some games. We have a great silent auction. We've got music this year, food, cash bar, gag giveaways. We try to make it as entertaining as possible. And yes, Doug's been involved for quite a few years. I think he kind of got roped into it. Now everybody demands he be there to announce the horse races. And we just try to make it a fun evening. It's a casual evening, but everybody that comes generally always comes back.
This is a fundraiser unlike others.
We're not quite as tight and formal as some you may have attended.
You may win a plunger. I mean, it could happen out there in the gag gifts. Jimmy, you may win a plunger. You may win a big old bucket of cheese balls.
Yeah. Both would be fine. I just like to win, Hey, winning ticket.
The horse races would be a little harder for you to handicap, by the way.
I probably wouldn't play that, would I?
Oh, yeah. You'd be in.
I'd still be in? Okay.
You'd be in.
All right.
It's for the kids. It's all donations.
Oh, yeah.
Might hit once in a while.
Yeah, who knows?
It's all the luck of the dice.
They got the pick three there or the daily double, or is it just one race?
No, this is just win, play, show, my friend.
Okay.
But it's only a 6-horse field.
Oh, got a chance.
As Big Game James would say, well, just like where he always goes. But anyway, it's next Saturday. The silent auction from 7 to 11. We got a little live music this year. Reggie Shaw is going to be providing that. And then it goes to about midnight that night. $10 are the tickets, $15 at the door. You can find out more on the Facebook page about the Fool's Night Out coming up next Saturday. On the other side of things, Carter, how do people get involved with the program from a volunteer standpoint and from maybe a writer standpoint?
I hate to beat the Facebook thing, but we've got all our information on there, and my contact number is on there. Our enrollment person is on there. Also, we can get you information on volunteering. We always are in desperate need of volunteers. This is a labor-intensive activity. Some riders, just are riding independent. Some need a horse leader. Some need a horse leader plus sidewalkers. Safety is always our top priority. And I always say if everybody's doing their job, this activity is probably safer than the ride out to the place. So anybody that's got an interest, has questions, give us a call and we'll get you involved.
What type of individual with a disability, I don't know if eligible is the right term, but what are you looking for? Who can you help?
Well, there are weight limits. If you're bigger than 250, just that's more than most of our horses can handle. But as long as there is no medical condition, a fused joint, neck or spinal issues, we can generally develop a program for somebody. And even in those cases, we can develop groundwork where they get physical contact with the horse, brushing, being able to work with the animal in that manner. Because we do have a medical form that has to be signed off by a physician, because we would never want to do anything that could be detrimental to a rider.
Some people would say, how does that tie in with YRTC at all? But we've been down this, we've had this story before. You work with kids that are at YRTC throughout the year, so you've got a background with that. But explain to the folks how that helps those guys out.
Basically it is just teaching the boys self-control and that you can control yourself and work with that animal without losing your temper and figuring out how to communicate with that animal. And that group actually is probably my lowest stress group I work with, because we don't have the safety concerns. And I mean, they come rolling out of that van when they drop them off and they're ready to go. And I said, my favorite story, we had this big, and I mean rough kid, biggest one in the group, and he's getting up on the step to get on that horse, and his knees were just shaking, but he was not going to be that kid that backed down. And I mean, they take a huge pride in that. And some of these kids, you know, we take for granted in Nebraska that everybody's been around animals, but a lot of these kids have never even been around a horse. You know, the biggest thing they've ever seen and been in contact with is a dog. And I tell all my riders, whether it's the YRTC kids or anything else, you're doing something that probably maybe 2% of our population's ever done. You know, we take for granted in the rural community, oh, everybody grew up around horse. No, a lot of people haven't. And, you know, we do some donations of horse parties for different fundraisers in town to kind of support the other nonprofits in the area. And, you know, we get people that, you know, grown adults that are nervous about getting up on a horse. So for these guys, you know, I take a lot of pride in them of being able to get up and do that.
Jimmy, you a horse rider?
Nah, I'm good. You know, Doug.
Horse watcher?
Yeah,
horse
rider. I like to watch all kinds of horses, and I like it when they have numbers on their any type of a number on them.
Carter Sipke's with us here. The Fool's Night Out to help support Kearney Therapeutic Horseback Riding Program next Saturday, April 18th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. Gets underway at 7 o'clock with fun games, raffles, prizes. Did you want to mention any of those that are going to be on raffles this week?
Well, we're still putting together some final things. We try to do a couple big raffle items. This year we put together a patio set that'll be a hammock on that has a frame, an outside mister, and a bucket of assorted adult beverages. So we try to have a couple big items in there, and we'll have some different fun raffles. And like I said, the gag giveaways, we try to keep it interesting as possible.
They've had some really cool stuff over the years, fire pits and Husker quilts and specialized things that you just don't go find at the store, yeah. Some specialized things that are donated. Carter, is there anything else that you wanted to touch on?
No, I just, you know, if you can make it, please do. I appreciate you guys having me on. And I will have to laugh about the horse race Doug keeps mentioning. That was kind of just built as a joke and now has become the centerpiece of the night with grown adults screaming at toy horses and Doug yelling out the lead and who's behind. And it's been a lot of fun to have you involved with it.
Well, we get to make up the names of the horses. Sometimes that's a little fun as well.
Which I've got to kind of put the brakes on every now and then.
So, with Doug's name, and you're going to put the brakes on all six of them.
Come on, brother. Again, folks, if you want to get tickets ahead of time.
Yeah, on the Facebook page, the contact number, the invite's right on there, so all the contact information's there.
Kearney Therapeutic Horseback Riding is where you can find them on Facebook. Carter Sipke, thanks for all the work you do, man.
Appreciate it, gentlemen.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, a $20 gift card to Fanatics is on the line.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating has several certified plumbers on staff that can take your call quickly. Projects like new construction, renovations, remodeling, higher efficiency equipment upgrades, backflow prevention, retrofits, and everything in between. Day or night, they will gladly accept your emergency call. For over 60 years, Anderson Brothers is the place to call for plumbing.
Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Westwood One's coverage of the 2015 Masters continues.
Now Bubba over his ball, taps it in, and he'll walk off the green with his second green jacket. Bubba Watson, your 2014 Masters champion.
From the first round to the presentation of the green jacket, all the action is right here.
Coverage continues today at 1 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
It's been a long day. It's cold outside and your car is on E. Ugh. Okay, I'll go to Fast Fills. Because when I walk in, I know that I will be greeted with a fresh brewed tea or coffee and a smile. A good joke and sometimes a bad one. But the point is, they remember their customers and treat them like friends. So all of a sudden, filling up is something you look forward to. Fast Fills Plaza, your Senex station, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Senex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies.
Back at Daddy's show. Time for our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you who you had in the Masters yesterday. Nobody voted for Tiger. What? Nobody voted for Tiger, and they got on Rory McIlroy right away. 67% for McIlroy, 33% for Spieth. I'm guessing that would change a little bit today since Spieth was 7-up on McIlroy entering the day. We'll give you a leaderboard update here in a moment. Today, should college athletes be allowed to leave school early to play in the pros? Jimmy?
Yes, automatic.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's so tough, though. Regulating what they can and can't do. It's hard that the NCAA and the colleges are trying to regulate what the parents can't regulate. Let's face it. Oh, I'm going to send my boy, I'm going to send my girl to the pros, mostly guys, let's face it, to get that check. When they're not ready, they don't make it, and then they're in a world of hurt because they weren't able to go on and go to some sort of college and maybe form their game up a little bit more. Vote now on our Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Again, the Tri-City Storm will be on the road tonight and tomorrow. They're playing at Dubuque and then off to Des Moines, and you can hear the action on the Breeze 94.5. Tickets went on sale this morning for the playoff games. You can go to stormhockey.com or call or visit the Viero Event Center. The home games will be Thursday, and then a week from tomorrow, next Saturday, 7:05 games. Those will be game 2 and 3 of their series. They'll either be playing Omaha or Sioux Falls. Nebraska baseball taking on Minnesota. UNK and Hastings College baseball and softball keeping busy this weekend as well. And on the high school side of things, the track side, we have got going on today the Kearney High invite, so we welcome everybody in for that. We welcome everybody in for the Adams Central invite. Aurora postponed theirs from yesterday to today. The GNAC soccer tournament gets underway today in Lexington. Girls games are at 3. Kearney will play Scotts Bluff. Hastings against Norfolk. Lexington against North Platte. The boys' games are at 5. Kearney will play Hastings. Lexington will play North Platte. Then the tournament wraps up tomorrow. The Grand Island boys play Lincoln Southeast in Lincoln in the HAC or Heartland Athletic Conference semifinals today at 4 o'clock. The Nebraska School Activities Association, well, they voted 5-3 to continue playing third place or consolation games in classes C and D for volleyball and basketball next year. A lot of people, my thought, the vibe I was getting was that this past year was going to be it. A and B voted it out. B and C are going to keep it. They also voted kind of smartly, but yet they still don't get it. They will have all the district volleyball finals on the Thursday in C and D. This past year you had your state football semifinals for classes A, B, and C are on Friday. Well, you idiots, the class D's are still on that Thursday. All you do is you put the C's on Thursdays and the D's on Friday. Yet we're going to play them all on Thursday. I know you're listening out there. Fix it. Who came? I mean, move D to Friday and C to Thursday. You still didn't get it right. You got it half right. You still didn't get it right. You're still now hamstringing the D schools if you happen to be fortunate enough to have your football and volleyball teams playing at the same time. It happened to Kearney Catholic. It happened to Hastings St. Cecilia. It happened to a handful of schools last year in Class C, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, I was on that committee. I mean, not a committee, but, you know, we get to vote on that as just an AD, you know, mm-hmm. in every school that goes to those things. You're right, Doug. Anytime you want to avoid things like that. Now, there was a time when they had the volleyball had their finals and football had their semifinals, and then you've only got 6 possible schools that can get involved in that. So that's something you may not want to change. But this, numerous, I mean, you got 32 schools that could be involved in this. You know, at that time, there's a possibility of 32 schools that could have something going on at the same time. So you're exactly right.
We're taking a look. We're talking here. We're over time on the show. I'm looking up at the television, and it says the jury does not reach a verdict in the Aaron Hernandez trial. Deliberations will continue Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's noon. Where are you going? You got something? Are the jurors going to get to go somewhere this afternoon? What? How come they're not? What? Good Lord. You get vacation on a jury? Crazy. Just crazy. Let's do it right now. Let's give away a $25 gift card and send you into the weekend happy. Fanatics Friday Trivia, 888-455-ESPN. One winner per household every 3 months. So if you've won recently, we're giving everybody a chance. Call now at 888-455-3776. Fanatics, your sports bar dedicated to bringing you the game. Great food and good times with their custom handcrafted pizza, great wings, sandwiches, burgers, a kid's menu, and with the beautiful weather, don't forget to slide out to the bullpen, their outdoor beer garden. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, hockey, it's more fun with Fanatics, a block north of the tracks on Central Avenue in Kearney. Who we chatting with? We go to the phone lines. Anybody there? Well, we'll move on. We'll go to the next one, 888-455-3776, and see if we can get you to be a part of today's Doug and Daddy Show and win a $25 gift card to Fanatics. We're going to have a little fun with this.
Okay.
We're going to have a little fun with this.
Have you got a couple questions ready to go?
I've got about 100 of them.
Oh, my.
Who are we chatting with?
Kurt.
We're going to play a little test your Huskers. We're going to test your Husker knowledge going into the spring game tomorrow. What number is Jack Gangwish, lineman, Wood River, Nebraska? What's his number?
92.
Not correct. Try back. 888-455-3776. Know your Husker spring game. Who are we chatting with?
This is Gabe.
Hey, let's give you a Husker number here. What number is Sam Foltz, the punter, out of Grand Island?
God, how about 19?
It's not 19. Try back, 888-455-3776. See how fun this is?
Yeah.
Let's stay with the Fanatics Friday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Andy,
what is Zach Darlington quarterback's number?
Oh, let's try 15.
It's not 15. Try back, 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Brett.
Oh, man. I got to give him somebody that's played, right? I can't just stay on the local guys. So, what is the number of... let's give him somebody that he can get here. Let's give him a chance. What's the number of... well, let's just do Jack Gangwish again. What's Jack's number?
95.
Oh, right in the wheelhouse. He knew it. That's right. $25 gift card to Fanatics. Hey, hang on the line, and our producer will get you set up. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. Thank you.
The other numbers, Zach Darlington, 2. Sam Foltz, 27. I kind of thought Riker Fife would be a little too easy. You know his number? 17. Riker Fife wearing number 17. Jimmy, that's going to wrap things up on the program today. Anything else before we let you out of here?
Nope, I'm good, Doug.
Let's take a look at the leaderboard here in the second round of the Masters. Jordan Spieth is playing just as well today as he did yesterday. He's 4-under today through 12 holes, and that means he's got the par 5, 13th and 15th still ahead of him. He is at 12-under. Charlie Hoffman is still trying to hang in there, 2-under through 8. He's 5 back at 7-under. Ernie Els, if he can par 18, he'll shoot an even par for the day. He's at 5-under. Justin Rose bogeyed the first hole. He's at 4-under. Jason Day bogeyed the first hole. He is at 4-under par. So other golfers, Bubba Watson has just teed off. Tiger Woods 2-under on his round through 10. So he is at 1-under par. And Phil Mickelson, as we said, still to tee off. Live coverage begins at 1 o'clock. I want to thank Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, NCAA basketball official John Higgins, Carter Sipke with Kearney Therapeutic Horseback Riding for joining us.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
And we will see you Monday to talk a lot more about Nebraska spring football. Jimmy, have a great weekend.
See you, Doug.